when I was working in the Army, just for whatever reason, I still kept winding up in front of a bunch of people. And I never like it. I get nervous. I'm always worried about losing my way. I'll go off on a tangent or something like that. So I just want to let you know. I'm a little nervous. But based on kind of what people have been saying here this morning, I think I'm kind of on the right track. And I'll get there, but I've got a couple of things I wanted to mention. If you haven't tithed yet, don't base it on this. Eric Hooter, last week was very powerful for me, because I knew I was trying to get ready to do this. And the service started off with Eric Hooter standing up and singing a song. And the way he started was to introduce the song. He said, "It's been..." the song's been coming up on my feet, the same thing over and over again. This stuff's coming up on my feet, and I need to share it. And so that's kind of been what's going on with me. I would say probably since probably last fall, I've had the same things over and over and over again. These thoughts just continuously in my head, and they're kind of on the same theme. And so when that stuff started, you know, happening, I just started paying attention, and I started writing some stuff down. And I kind of felt like, okay, I think I'm probably going to have to talk about this at some point, but I need confirmation. So I looked for confirmation, and I have a continuous thought over and over again. It seems like it's good. And then I either hear it repeated back to me here, or I read it in the Bible, or through some fellowship. And what I'm going to talk about today, I just kind of repeatedly heard. So I've either lived it, watched somebody else go through this stuff, or I've seen it written down in the Bible, and I said, okay, we're going to put this down on paper, and that's going to come out of my mouth, hopefully, in some kind of order. So that's, again, kind of been going on for about, I would say, 6-8 months. Since I told Steve and Richard that I wanted to do this, I've been very, very doubtful. I think back when I first said, I think I got a message, they're like, well, guess what's going to happen now? You're going to be all messed up. And they're spot on. So, while I was meeting with them, I started feeling like I was like sick to my stomach. And then I just started having interference, you know? Things going on at the house, things going on with my kids, things going on with my friends, things going on with people here at the church, things going on in the world. And it just started causing some interference. But I will tell you this, talking to those guys, like, we knew it was coming, right? So it was like, I'm like, I know what this is. So it didn't really faze me. Doesn't mean I'm not nervous right now, but as far as getting prepared for this, like, I started feeling pretty confident. And more confirmation. When I was having doubt about, like, am I qualified to talk to you in front of, you know, am I qualified to give a message? Like, I don't know. And I don't even know if this is really a message. It's kind of a message. It's kind of a testimony. It could be a mess. So I told my wife, we're going to call it a messimony. But again, you know, I was still looking for confirmation. And Dwayne stood up here a couple weeks ago, and he said, well, do you have a miracle in your life? When God performs a miracle in your life, you share it. So that's why I'm standing here today. My message today is on struggle. And just in the last few weeks, I told Reggie to see, like, I got to get it right now. because I can tell you, just hearing people's stories, knowing what's going on in my own life, knowing what's going on in the church body and outside of these doors, there is so much struggle right now. It is hard. And I know some of you are in the midst of it right now. Some of you have been through it and are on the other side. You know, it might be in a good place, but it doesn't matter. All of us are struggling with something on some level. You know, Jolynn and I were having car problems, and I hit a brand new truck and I hit a turkey, you know, and just things like that. But I was stressing me out, but I'm in the big picture when I hear people talking here. what kind of problem is that, right?
Yeah.
But still, you build it up in your mind and you stress over these things
yeah.
When we don't need to.
Right.
Okay. We have people in here, you know, people that I know, people in here that are struggling with serious, serious medical issues. Serious medical issues. Financial issues. Turmoil in the house. Broken families. The list goes on and on. There's just a lot of struggle in the world right now. I wanted to say something real quick, just so you know who you're dealing with. I am new to the faith, right? In August will be 3 years out of faith. So I am still learning. I have not read the Bible all the way through yet. I'm working on it. I started the Old Testament, and I got bored, and then somebody told me to do the New Testament, so I read that all the way through, and I'm all the way up to Isaiah right now. And that's the main reason I'm talking to you today, because I got into Isaiah,
yeah.
And I was like, this is important. This is relative to what's going on right now. I actually have a name for this sermon, and it is the ABCs of struggle. And I think it's appropriate on multiple levels.
Amen.
Now, first of all, I am a baby in faith, right? And so I am like a preschooler. I'm still learning my ABCs, and I'm just hitting the basics. And I'm building up this foundation, so that I can continue on in faith. But right now I'm in first grade. I think, as far as talking about a miracle in somebody's life or somebody that's powered through struggles with the help of God, I'm 100% qualified to talk about that.
That's right.
So today we're going to talk about struggle. And I apologize if I'm reading, but I've got some thoughts and I want to make sure that they get out correctly. I'm not ready to be Reggie and you guys are running around with a headset on and doing the Madonna thing or whatever it is. I'm not ready for that. Before I get started, is there anybody on Zoom?
Yeah.
My daughter better be on there. Okay, good. I was going to ask for my car back. Let's begin the struggle. That's awesome. I'll just wonder. I talked to John a couple weeks ago, and I was telling him, I really like it when he gives a sermon, because he's going to get you where he wants to go, but he takes this bizarre route all over the place. And I was like, someday I think I'm going to show up to your house and be like, hey, let's go for a ride to Burnham. We're going to go through Bog Brook. We're going to go to Grafton Notch. All this stuff. And like, what are we doing? He's like, oh, I can do this here, do this here. We'll get there. And he always gets us there.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Every time. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going to do that, but I'll get you there, I think.
Okay.
What does the Bible say about struggle? James, you got it there?
Yeah.
James 1 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Hold on. Did we get the right one?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen it happen a couple times. I'm waiting for these ones. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Struggle's good for us. Romans 5, 3 to 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, hope. Struggle is good for us. And it's tough to see that when you're in it. It's easy to say it from the outside, but it's tough to see it when you're in it. How can you find joy in your struggle when you're just struggling to stay alive?
Right.
Most of us that have been around for a while, we know, right? That things are generally probably going to work out okay, especially us that have faith. Struggle makes us who we are. But sometimes we only realize that after the fact, right? Hindsight. When you're in it, it's very, very tough. The Bible also tells us when you're struggling to put your faith in God, and He will give you strength. Isaiah 41:10. Is that the right one? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And I'll get to it, but just the soaring on eagle's wings really hit me. And I just want to let you know, like at one point, and I've got a song to play after. I'm not going to play it, but you know what I mean. And there's a line in there that says, when the falling feels like wine. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to fall, and that if you have God in your life, He will help you fly. And that's that when I read that, I mean, if I was sitting in my living room, I was like, wow, it just hit me. So there's something going on in Isaiah. I just find it so powerful.
Yeah.
He also tells us to put your trust in anything, to not put your trust in anything else other than God. If you put your trust in anything else other than God, it is bad. Isaiah 46:3-9. Okay. So I kind of screwed this up. I got small print and I forgot my glasses. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, and have carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will maintain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. With whom will you compare me or count me equal to? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on scales, and they hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Even though someone cries out, it cannot answer. It cannot save. It cannot save them from their troubles. Remember this. Keep in mind. Take it to your heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there was no one like me. And he speaks to idols directly. Isaiah 41:24. But you are less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable. The more I read in Isaiah, including till about 4 o'clock this morning, I was trying to figure this out, like, what was I trying to get at, and what was so important in Isaiah. And there's a lot going on, right? But just what I want to talk about today is that God gives us a clear choice. We can choose Him. We can choose an idol. Who are we going to put our trust in? We can fly like an eagle. We can be detestable. Should be an easy decision, but sometimes we find ourselves in such distress that we fall back on what comes naturally. How do we avoid that reaction? How do we make it easier to turn to God if we aren't yet conditioned to do that? It's going to take a bit, so bear with me. Last summer was the first time I had read 1 James 2 through 4, and I remember thinking that it was true that our struggles definitely give us strength and perseverance, but I definitely struggled myself with the pure joy part. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do when you're in the middle of things. Literally the day after I read this, I was informed that a person I did not know committed an offense against someone close to me. An offense so egregious that by the world's standards, I had a right, and some might say a duty, to exact some form of revenge. I was deeply, deeply troubled. I was specifically asked by the victim not to do anything. That would make things worse for them, but something had to be done. I prayed for guidance, but I didn't receive anything. I was still reading the Bible daily, but I couldn't stay focused on reading. Days went by. I had no description of this person other than skin color, so I created a picture of him in my mind, and I began to have some crazy thoughts. Maybe God's plan involved me going to jail. Maybe I was supposed to serve God there. I thought about how good it would feel to see the fear in the eyes of this person, to watch him feel pain, perhaps watch him die. I decided I needed to find out who this person was. I wanted to see him with my own eyes. If I could just find him and follow him. What action I was going to take after that would work itself out. First things first, I would identify him. I knew a place that he frequented, and I would come up with a plan, stake it out, and figure out who he was. And that's where I was meant to be. It was the one with the stakeout. It just seems crazy when I read it now, but that's where I was, and I meant business. My mind was overwhelmed with dark thoughts. They consumed me. I couldn't sit still. I was doing work around the house, but I couldn't focus on that. And I had to clear my head. And so I would do what usually works for me. I said, I'm going to go climb a mountain. And usually when I do that, my head always clears after a couple of miles. I filled my pack and I threw on my boots before I even knew where I was going. And I thought maybe I'd find something out west, over in Nash Stream. Like, there's a couple mountains out there that I like, there's Percy Peak, that area. And the weather was good in that direction. But something inside me told me I needed to get above tree line. I've always been drawn to the higher peaks. I've come to realize that I feel closer to God there. The unobstructed view gives clear evidence of his existence. I decided on Mount Madison. I would take the airline trail, which offers the quickest, easiest access to tree line. Easiest. Clouds were forming in the direction I was heading, but the forecast of the summits was for spotty showers late in the day. Nothing serious. So I drove to the trailhead in Randolph. I parked my car and I began to hike. And I hiked fast. My mind was filled with random thoughts about how to deal with the situation. Constant noise in my brain. I climbed higher out of the tall hardwoods and into the ever smaller softwoods. The trail became steep and filled with boulders. Days of rain had left the rocks slippery and dangerous, and I began to focus on the task at hand. I can't get hurt here. It's a long way for a rescue. I don't want to be that guy. Jason Hooter will never shut up if I wind up being carried out of here. Literally, Jason sent me a text when I was writing his name into the laptop. Don't make this about me, dude. You're welcome. It began to sprinkle, and I looked up, and the sky was darker now. I climbed higher, finally breaking tree line and emerging from the trees on the shoulder of Kingwood B. I finally stopped for a moment to take a break and take in the view. I had been to this spot many times before, and looking into that ravine is breathtaking. If you don't know where that is, that's on the left side. Right? So if you're looking at the 7, I was on the left side, and that goes up between Mass and that. Long story. Let me talk about it. A dark cloud had formed over the northern residentials. It was headed towards me, and I was headed towards it. I turned to look behind me in the direction I had come. The sun was shining on the mountains to the west where I had originally considered going. I looked at the sun-soaked peaks of Nash Stream area, and I laughed out loud and I cursed myself. I should have been over there in the sun, looking towards where I was now standing. I'm an idiot. And as an idiot would do, I continued climbing higher. And it started raining harder. And thankfully the air was warm and the wind was light, but this could be sketchy. And I scrambled up over around the boulders on the ravine edge, and the rain picked up in intensity. I had a decision to make. The summit of Madison was out of the question for the day, but should I turn around and get into the shelter of the trees, or should I go to Madison Hut where there was shelter and hot coffee? So it was the same distance, 1.5 mile each way. I decided on the coffee. My wife will confirm. I got wet, but I safely reached the hut. I sat inside the dining room, and as the rainstorm passed overhead, I ate lunch and drank my coffee in silence. I thought of nothing, I heard nothing. After remaining like this for the better part of an hour, I began to feel a change come over me. I felt the warmth. I felt the weight lifted from me. I felt like I had been woken from sleeping or broken out of a trance. I felt peace. I suddenly took notice of the voices of the other hikers that had also taken shelter from the weather. I heard the noises from the kitchen as the hut crew prepped for the dinner. I wondered what these people would think if they had known why I had come to the mountain that day and how dark my thoughts were. Slightly ashamed, I made no eye contact. I looked outside and saw clouds lifting and the sun begin to poke through the broken black clouds. I packed up and left the security of the hut. I decided to take a different trail on the way down. This is the Valley Way Trail. I've never liked this trail. I've only used it in the winter because it's boring. It's in the trees almost to the hut, but the trees make for good protection from bad weather. I started downhill with a dark cloud just above and behind me, but I was facing the sun. As I began the steep descent, I had an unexplainable feeling of happiness. I was not thinking of a man that I wanted to harm. I was thinking about how much better I felt. I even thought that maybe I like this trail after all. And I'm like, why was I so happy? The sun began to warm my body, and in an instant, I knew the source of this happiness. I knew that the Holy Spirit had guided me to this exact spot, at this exact time, for me to understand that I needed to be heading towards the sunlight. I needed to be headed towards His light. I needed to realize that I needed to turn my back on darkness. A few hours earlier, I'd been thinking the darkest of thoughts and heading away from the light and directly into the darkness. My need for revenge had left me. The God who had saved me 2 years earlier was reminding me of what He wants most for me to love Him and to walk in His light with Him, to turn to Him and Him only, to turn my back on the darkness, reminding me that He has a plan. He has a plan for everyone, including the man I want to destroy. As a servant I promised to be since the day I was saved, I needed to trust His plan. I continued the rest of the hike, and something else had occurred to me. The only reason I was able to understand what had been communicated to me that day was because just prior to this period of struggle, I had been working on my relationship with God every day. I had been praying several times a day, reading the daily affirmation and reading my way through the Bible a day at a time. And I am convinced that if not for those daily interactions, I would not have been in tune with what He was trying to tell me. The day would have been about a bad decision and bad weather and nothing more. Instead of making a bad situation way worse for everyone in my life, I chose God. And we move forward. Now, if you weren't here last week, I was talking about how powerful it was for me last week because I was thinking about this right before John got up to give his message about revenge, I guess, right? Yeah. And I was sitting in the back before he even talked. I didn't know what he was going to talk about, and I was struggling with this because I knew I was going to talk about this today, and I was still fighting with it. Am I a man? Because I didn't hurt this person. Did I do the right thing? I was having doubts. Right then and there, I was having doubts, and then John got up and spoke. And several other people in this room spoke. And they gave me confirmation. And I thank you for that. And I wanted to mention, too, that I was struggling, too, with that. Like, I'm going to talk about struggle and just to trust in God. You know, God's going to take care of everything. But I didn't want it to come off as saying that you do nothing, that you do nothing. In this instance now, I know that I did. It's not that I did nothing. I did the right thing. So I put that to bed last week too. So to the ABC part, right? I'm headed there. So a month later, it was around November, I settled into my rightful place in the back of the church. And I just was looking around, and I thought to myself, how amazing this place is. There's something so good about this place. You know, every week I come in, and I get my batteries recharged, you know? And all of a sudden, just like that, I started thinking about my solar panels in my house. And I was like, yeah, I'm getting my battery recharged, just like we do at the house, you know? But yeah, if you don't know, Joel and I, we live off-grid, 100%. And it's one of the smartest things I've ever done. It is awesome. And we've got everything we need. We don't struggle, you know, it's not like we're living in a cave or anything like that. Everything works. So, yeah. We could have an outhouse for a while, but we're beyond that. We're good. That was all we were building. Still there if you want to go over. Take a first day. Now, all of these thoughts are coming in, like, this is all in a second, right? I was like, wow, it's like coming into church is like our solar situation, right? We come in once a week and we get recharged and we take off the world week and we get this recharge that we use, right? Until we come back the following week. But another thing popped into my head, so I'm a YouTube guy, because we're off-grid, I'm looking at that stuff all the time. In the off-grid community, Gary, you probably heard it, the guys, when they're talking about electricity, they say, always be charging. Always be charging. Mm-hmm. And it's a spin-off from an old movie or a play, to Glengarry Glen Ross, and trying to tell the salesman to always be closing the deal. They're like, always be closing. And I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. Always be charging. It's not just about solar power. You know, we have to be charging. We have to be charging ourselves.
Yeah.
You come to church and charge your battery, and hopefully you have enough Holy Spirit juice until the next 7-day refill. I just wanted to say that. I wrote down a lot. I was already past it. So I thought, still considering my solar setup, isn't that the truth? It's so important to always maintain that connection between the sun, your panel, and your batteries. So that your batteries have the power you need when you need it. At night when it's dark, during bad weather. It's all about how much power you can store when the sun is out. Constantly feeding the batteries when able. And can't the same be said for our relationship with God? Church is great, and what we do here and get from here every Sunday is absolutely awesome. But isn't it what we do in between services? It's just as important or possibly more important.
Yeah.
My daughter Sydney and I were talking about college classes a few months back, and I remember saying that, you know, you can show up for every scheduled session of a class, so that's great, but what you do with your time in between is the difference between passing and failing. We can all be full of the Spirit when we leave here today, but what we do to keep our batteries charged, or what are we going to do to keep our batteries charged in the interim? Always be charging. I kept thinking of this while I was sitting in the back room. ABC, always be charging. ABC. And I said, you know, I bet there's a way to use these letters in a way more relating to God. And I was sitting back there and I was trying to come up with something. And Dan had just got done talking. He gave the message that day. And Reggie came up and he just randomly says, yeah, if you're always built up in Christ, that's how we deal with adversity. And I was like, there it is. It was amazing. You know? It doesn't match perfectly, but it was good for me. That's all I needed. Yeah. If you see my car for you, it doesn't have to fit perfectly. But that's how we deal with adversity. That's how we power through our struggles. And for the last 6 months, that's what's been popping up in my head. And that's why I've named this message, which I'm going to get through real quick, I promise. it's called ABC, and we'll start with the letter A, and it's always built up in Christ. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Continue your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. So how do we do that? What actions do we take every day to stay rooted, stay built up in Christ? And so as I got ready to deliver this message this week, I randomly came to coffee with Jesus. And what did we talk about? We talked about what each of us did to maintain that relationship with God during the week. There is no coincidence. Jolita and I had gone to, I think I mentioned it once before, we went to Alaska, and we actually went to a church service up there on the Army base. And the chaplain was talking about the AFC championship game and how these people, and I'm sure you read about it, saw on the news, they got frostbite. And they were losing fingers and toes, frostbite, for a football team.
Yeah.
What do we do for God? What do we do for God? I can tell you, I know more about the Boston Red Sox than I know about God. And that's a shame. But I know that, and I'm going to change that. So I'm working on it right now. Still going to follow. But something we talked about was these different things that we do. You know, you attend church, fellowship, on your own, reading the Bible, Bible study, related readings, daily affirmations, prayer, music. I started when I'm out on the driveway, but hopefully we're done, listening to testimonies. And I something about listening to testimonies, because I just know what that feeling's like when these people have their moment where they finally just surrender everything. It's awesome. And so those are some of the things that I do. But it's important that we do these things, that we know where our heart is. Right? You can do these things and just check the block, but where's your heart? God knows where your heart is. And if you're doing these and your heart is not in the right place, you're wasting your time. And God knows that. And that's a pretty insulting, I would think. Reggie talks about repetition. I think it was maybe a couple months ago we talked about repetition. And when you get in the habit of doing these things, repetition is good if your heart's in the right place. Yeah. Repetition is good. I had a discussion with my son Elijah, who's going through some pretty difficult training. And he said something, he's not saved, but he said something to me on the way back from the airport, coming home. And he said, you know, they bring him to the point of drowning, and they just make them so uncomfortable that they're training them to do things that aren't natural, right? You're supposed to give up. You're supposed to breathe, right? You're supposed to want to take a gulp of air or whatever. You know, you're going to fight this drowning process, but over time, you just get used to it, and it's repetition. It's repetition. And he said, you know, basically what they're doing is they're waterboarding him for all intents and purposes, where he's at. And so he's at the point now where, and they're smoking him too, right? They're getting physically beat. And on top of that, being drowned. And he said, I don't care. He said, I don't care. And now when they do it, I'm like, give me some more. And you know, it reminded me that he's got to a point, and he's not safe, but so he's got it in him. He knows that it's good for him. They're teaching him how to move forward and how to survive through difficulties. So I'm still working on him. So, as we are always built up in Christ, as we try to maintain our relationship with God each day, we just have to remember that when our connection with Him is weak, we are weak. When we're weak, we stray. We stray from God. And God will let you know when you stray too far. Trust me. If you don't fix it, He's gonna. And it's gonna hurt. The Bible is filled with repetitious stories of that. When you stray from God, bad. Trusting God, good. You need to build yourself up and stay ready for battle.
Yeah.
That was A. B. Bad things are going to happen. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not.
Yeah.
In fact, some things get more difficult for me after I was saved. I had more battles to fight. I was suicidal, I think, until last winter. Yeah, maybe winter before, I can't remember. About a year and a half ago, probably. Still struggling with that. But I had God to fall back on. I didn't have that before.
Right.
I did not have that in my toolbox, or whatever you want to say, in my arsenal. And now that I do, you know, I've gradually started to naturally lean on Him more and more as I get built up in Christ. So bad things are going to happen. You just need to accept it. Be built up in Christ when bad things happen.
Right.
And C is choices. Mm. If you're built up in Christ, you will make the right choices. Constantly being told here, I've heard it many times, and I would love it too, is consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
Choices have consequences, good and bad.
Right.
We can choose to trust God and be in good standing with Him, or we can rely on something else and deal with the consequences. If we are already built up in Christ, we will turn to Him more easily. When struggle comes, how do you deal with it? What do you turn to? I made a list of things in my lifetime, I'm not saying I do this anymore, of things that I've turned to. Alcohol, anger, revenge, violence, avoidance, running away, giving up, suicide, sex, blame other people, blame God, hate. There's more. I'm sure I missed some, right? But that's, you get the point. We turn to other things. And these things will consume you. And all of these things create more problems. Most of them create more problems for the people you love. When we turn to these things instead of God, can we say that they are idols?
Yeah.
If we're turning to these things, when we're facing struggle, we become detestable in His eyes. We talk about surrender, and I love it. And when I surrendered, it was an amazing thing. It was an instant, and I could tell you, you know, alcohol is a thing in my life and my family. When I did that, it left me. And so I'm just so grateful. And we talk about surrender and just the importance of it. But there's also another surrender. You can go the other way. And I've done it. We make little decisions and choices every day. And I just wrote down here, I didn't know what else to, how to describe it. I said little surrenders. We make little surrenders every day. Are they to God? Or are they steering you from God? I wrote a list of things that I've, or things that I've said to myself. Again, this is throughout my lifetime. I'm pretty strong right now. But this is where I've been. I've told myself, I'm stressed. I deserve a drink. I'm happy. I deserve a drink. I'm sad. I deserve a drink. It's Tuesday. I deserve a drink. I'm a North Country boy. I'm supposed to drink. I'm in the Army. I'm supposed to drink. My wife can watch the kids. I had a hard week. I deserve to drink. I have PTSD. I have to drink. I don't like the president. I have to drink. I will lose my friends if I quit drinking. I will lose my identity if I quit drinking. I will be bored if I quit drinking. I used to smoke. I only smoke when I drink. I'll quit smoking tomorrow. I'll quit after this pack. I'll quit after New Year's. I wouldn't be smoking if you hadn't upset me. Oh, thank God I said that correctly. This came off. My kids don't really need me. They have their own friends. I'm a man. I'm supposed to look at a pretty woman. I'll pray tomorrow. I don't need to go to church. I talk to God on my own. I'll pray later. The world would not miss me. I'm not smart enough. And all these little conversations that you have with yourself eventually lead to a bigger surrender in the wrong direction. And I can tell you, I remember the moment when I had fallen so far down into the pit. I remember I had sinned already so bad and my life was already a shambles. I remember the moment I said, just, that's it, that's me now. I'm a piece of garbage. And I surrendered even more deeply at that point. And that's not a good feeling. And then things really went out of control. I surrendered, and I went into a pit so deep that I wanted to die. A couple weeks ago, I was actually writing stuff down in my book to get ready for this, and I had to get some VA paperwork out of my laptop bag. And I reached into my laptop bag, and I found something that I had forgotten about for a long time. Totally forgot about it. And I brought it today, and I'm hoping I can put it to bed. This is my suicide. All those little surrenders my entire life brought me to this. I had decided I wanted to die. I wanted to die. And I made my mind up, and I was going to asphyxiate myself in my truck. I'm not going to read anything, but I can just tell you when I see this, this is a lost person. A lost person. And I'm just not good at suicide, so I didn't succeed. But just to look at this is very disturbing, and I really don't know what to do with it. I'm not sure why I brought it today, but I felt like it was important. There's a reason that I found that in my laptop bag. You don't have to turn into this. You know, there's a thing here that tells Jolinda what to do with my body, and tell the police to call my wife and all that stuff. And I know I'm not the only person who's been there. But this was pretty close. And it was all those little things that I gave into my whole life that brought me to that point. But 3 days later, I was safe. 3 days later, I was safe. I went from this to a completely new life in 3 days. And all it took was to be in the right place at the right time with the right person to say, "Have you tried praying?" And he said, "Well, why don't you give it a shot? Will you promise me that you'll do that?" And I said, "Sure." And for the first time in a while, I kept my word. And I did. And it took me a while, but eventually I said the right thing. And I said, "Will you forgive me?" And that's all it took. That's all it took. Yep, and I will tell you, struggles, you know, like I said, they're going to happen. And they've been coming. Even after I was saved, again, still struggling with, do I need to be here? Am I really worth it? You know, why was I saved? All these questions. But my life is incredible. Yeah, it's awesome. I have a whole new outlook on life. These little things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. I was not in a good mood coming up here. But, you know, how bad is that, right? Yeah, what a horrible life. You're going to go talk at church. So it's all about the ABCs, right? Always be built up in Christ for those bad times that are for sure going to happen or are happening now. You'll make the right choices. With God in your heart, you'll make the right choices. And my last ABC is always be choosing Him. And that is the end of my testimony.